The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, before we get into the sports side of this, you know that I'm a huge sports fan, and I always respect the history of sports and the players who have played throughout sports, but also I am a huge music fan and hip-hop in general. You know, I'm a rapper, so of course I've had many inspirations throughout hip-hop that have inspired me musically, and I just had to say, unfortunately, we lost one of my ultimate inspirations into hip hop. Coolio died a couple days ago, on Wednesday, it sucks. I mean, obviously, it sucks because he died, but it's just like for me personally, he was just a huge inspiration for me with hip hop because I mean, he was Coolio's Gangsta's Paradise. That was the first CD. I ever bought for as far as hip hop goes. I was born in 1985, so when I was a really little kid and I started listening to music, I had tapes. And actually, the first tape I ever bought was Salt and Peppa, Very Necessary. So that's the first piece of hip hop for me. But then when I got older, and you know, CDs started becoming the main source of the way you listen to music. Coolio's Gangsta's Paradise is one of the first CDs I ever bought. I actually remember exactly where I was. It was a Tower Records back in Reno, Nevada. It was actually around my birthday as well. And my friend's mom, Lonnie, she somebody who kind of raised me in my childhood, really. She took me to Tower Records and said, pick out a few CDs and that's going to be your birthday gift. And so Coolio Gangsta's Paradise was one of them. And I still listen to that album to this day. I love that album. But just definitely that is like why I rap. Even in fifth grade, I actually performed Gangsta's Paradise with my best friend at the time, Laura. We both performed Gangsta's Paradise and we came all out looking like we were gangsters in our like jerseys and our baggy clothes and our hats on backwards. And we're wearing our sunglasses like we're NWA. And, we came out and performed Gangsta's Paradise. And, for me, Coolio was a huge part of, for me personally, just making music. He's definitely an inspiration for me. It just sucks to lose yet another amazing hip-hop pioneer. You know, we lost DMX last year, so that sucked. But you know you're getting old when all of your the people you grew up listening to are starting to die off. So there you go. But RIP to Coolio, man. Thank you so much for everything you did for hip-hop. And no matter what, you definitely will go down as a West Coast legend for sure. All right, so let's get right into the baseball. And, you know, as I was ending Wednesday's show, I had the Yankee game on in the background, and Aaron Judge ended the show by hitting home run number 61, which was just fucking awesome. Did not plan that at all. As a matter of fact, usually I record my my Wednesday show a little bit earlier than I normally did, but for some, just kind of the way my night was working out, I had ordered some DoorDash, so that came kind of later, and then also I had to do my show with Simon, so it just kind of worked out that you know, I got the Yankees game on, Aaron Judge comes up to bat, and he ends the show by hitting his 61st home run, which was just awesome to see. Just to see all the replay angles of it. But my favorite replay angle that unfortunately I didn't get to laugh about live on the show because I was in the moment watching Aaron Judge run around the bases and he got the 61st home run, tied the freaking record, you know? The best shot, though, is getting to see no fans catch the ball. And the look on their faces of the people who barely just missed it, it was just absolutely hilarious to see all those people just so disappointed that they did not get home run number 61. In a crazy twist of coincidence, as a matter of fact, the one of the pitching coaches for the Toronto Blue Jays, he ended up getting it because it flew into the Blue Jays bullpen where all of their pitchers warm up. And so one of their pitching coaches, you know, he grabs it and he takes it to whoever, all the Yankees people who were surrounding him. But his wife is actually, she works for NFL Network. And she's also worked for ESPN in the past as well. And I'm familiar with her because I watch a lot of NFL Network. But she had noticed, she's like, oh my God, my husband caught the ball. Now let me start planning our retirement. And then she finds out that he gave the ball back to the Yankees. And she's like, oh, now it's time to divorce him. And she was obviously joking. And everybody, for some reason, thought she was being serious, which is just ridiculous. But okay. But it was just kind of funny that... that a person who's associated with sports in that way is the one whose husband ended up catching the ball. And Aaron Judge did end up giving his mother the ball. So that's just, I'm glad he got it. I'm always glad that the players get it because they're the ones who put in all the hard work. And we don't. And while I don't have a problem with, if you're one of those people who gets the ball and you go and sell it, cool, good for you. But I'm always happier to see that the player gets that because that is their accomplishment. And I feel like they should choose what happens with that ball. And if they choose to give it to the Hall of Fame or his mom in this case, then that's the way it should be. But it was absolutely hilarious to see just the look of disappointment on that row of like 10 people who kind of had a chance at the ball, and it just fell right into that bullpen, which was absolutely hilarious. The Yankees do play this weekend against the Baltimore Orioles, and it will be in New York. So Aaron Judge has a chance to surpass Roger Maris as the AL all-time home run champ in a season. So I think he's going to definitely hit. I think he's definitely going to surpass him and hit at least 62. I kind of have a feeling he might hit 2 home runs this weekend. So I kind of feel like Judge is going to end up at 63. So that would be awesome. Which would be 10 behind Barry Bonds, even though I know we still have this stupid, idiotic narrative of all you people. He's not really the home run king of steroids. Yeah, sorry. It's in the record books. It should remain in the record books. Stop being little bitches about it. You just sound stupid to me. And sorry, it's not going to, you can't erase it. It's not like all of us are going to forget it. You know, it's kind of like how Reggie Bush, they took away his Heisman Trophy. We all know he won the Heisman Trophy. You can hide it from him and bury it 6 feet deep all you want. But we all know Reggie Bush won that Heisman Trophy. It's also kind of like when they take away national championships and wins after they find out there were violations by the school. And they think, oh, my God, let's take away this national championship. And like we magically forgot that they won it. No, it's still in the record books. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. And even Aaron Judge, he said, hey, Barry Bonds, he had 73 home runs in one season. That's the all-time home run king. So sorry about you. Judge did tie, and this is an amazing season that Aaron Judge is having. Not trying to take it away from him in any way, shape, or form. As a matter of fact, I've loved watching what Aaron Judge has done this year. Good for him, too, because now he's a free agent. And that motherfucker gonna get paid, whether the Yankees pay him or not, somebody's gonna pay him. And I do think it's ultimately gonna be the Yankees. They would be kind of stupid if they didn't, but you never know these days. And now let's look at the playoff picture, which is pretty much set. We have all the divisions locked up except for one, and that is gonna come down to a series this weekend. And the wild cards, the NL wild card, there's still a little bit of a question. One team could sneak in there, but it looks like the AL wild card is pretty much set at this point in time. But we do have a weekend of baseball to get through. We have the last weekend, and then next week, the playoffs start. So let's see what we got going into it. This weekend, in the American League, the AL West was won by the Houston Astros, and they would currently be the number one overall seed in the AL. They currently have a record of 102-54. And then the Yankees wrapped up the AL East this past week. They are currently 96-59, and they would be the number two seed. So both the Astros and the Yankees would get the bye weeks, as it looks at this point. And it kind of, I kind of feel like that's the way it's going to end up, because the other teams are pretty far behind. And then in the AL Central, the Cleveland Guardians, they took that division with an 88-68 record currently. And then the wild card, the Toronto Blue Jays, they clinched a playoff spot, so they're for sure in the playoffs. And then the last two spots are with the Seattle Mariners and the Tampa Bay Rays. And currently the Baltimore Orioles are 5 games behind. So in my opinion, the AL is pretty much set. I don't really see Baltimore somehow sneaking in. I mean, they could, but I pretty much think this is the AL is wrapped up, and that's the way it looks right now. And then in the National League, the NL West, of course, the Dodgers won that division, like, what, back in May? Their record is 108-48, and they just sit and wait for everybody to come play them, because they are the number one overall seed. Then in the NL East, which is the only division that has not been locked up, this weekend the New York Mets and the Atlanta Braves will be playing a series in Atlanta. Currently, the Braves are 1 game back of the Mets. So this series is huge for both teams. So we'll see what happens here. It doesn't matter who wins the division, because both teams are already in the playoffs. But it's just awesome that this division battle's coming down to the last weekend. So it's going to get, it's already playoff baseball for those two teams. And then the NL Central was locked up by the St. Louis Cardinals earlier in the week. Their record is currently 90-66. And then right now the wild card standings are Atlanta Braves, who already have clinched a playoff spot. And so the remaining two wild card spots are right now occupied by the San Diego Padres and the Philadelphia Phillies, with the Milwaukee Brewers only a half game back. So the Brewers could sneak in. As I've been saying, this is a team that could sneak in one of those last wild card spots, because I can see the Padres choking, as they normally do, and the Phillies have kind of cooled off. So and Milwaukee's actually playing really well right now. So I wouldn't be shocked to see Milwaukee steal one of those spots from San Diego or Philly. But for the most part, the NL is also pretty much locked in. And we will get more in depth once the playoff matchups are set. And I'm sure on Monday, that's when I'm going to begin discussing the baseball playoffs, which I'm so looking forward to, especially the National League, because all these teams are just so fucking good. I mean, in the AL, there are good teams, and it's probably going to be a battle as well. But I mean, if you really look at it, the Astros are pretty much head and shoulders above everybody else in the AL. Not saying none of those teams have a chance. I mean, the Yankees, they are a damn good team. The Guardians, they are, I mean, Terry Francona is their manager, and he knows how to manage during the playoffs. Like, that is his time of year. So you really can't count them out. And then Toronto, Seattle, and Tampa, they're all really good teams. But in the National League, I just think there's three powerhouses who have excellent starting pitching, excellent batting lineups, and they play great defense. And it's going to be such a slight, slim margin between the Dodgers, the Mets, and the Braves, and hell, even the Cardinals. Because the Cardinals, that team, once it comes playoff time, you really can't fuck around with the Cardinals. So we'll see what happens there. It's going to be very interesting come playoff time, and I'm here for it. All right, now let's turn to the NFL. We had a Thursday night football game last night. Cincinnati Bengals beat the Miami Dolphins 27-15. It was kind of a weird game. There wasn't a lot of offense to start. Like, it looked like at first, like, holy shit, both teams, they kind of drove down the field. The Dolphins got 3 points. Then the Bengals got 7 points. And it looked like it was going to be right off the bat a whole bunch of offense. But then it kind of slowed down. And it was a very slow progressing game until about the third-ish, end of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter. And that's when the Cincinnati Bengals finally started to get it going offensively. Their offensive line is going to be an issue, though. I mean, it's already been an issue as this season has begun, but wow, they can't get anything going. I mean, they had a fourth down and one that they went for that they didn't get. And then they also had like a goal line stand that they didn't get either. So that offensive line is not going to give anybody a push for no matter who is their who their running back is. But Joe Burrow's been on his ass all season long. And I mean, when you see him drop back to pass and give him some time, he still looks great. In this receiving core, he's got a ton of weapons. It's just this offensive line does not give him a lot of time. Still, he had a solid game last night. He went 20 for 30 with 287 yards and two touchdowns. T. Higgins had a good game, 124 yards and a touchdown. So the Bengals looked pretty solid at certain points. Miami really struggled offensively. Of course, the main thing that a lot of people are talking about today is Tua Tagovailoa and his injury last night. While it was a jarring injury, I kind of wonder if you people realize that we're watching football. That's actually not the first time that something like that has happened on the field. It's just most people don't really remember it. I really don't know what y'all expect. Also, Tua is a grown-ass man. If he wants to play and he's cleared to play, he's going to play. I feel like he should be able to make his own decisions on his health, not the rest of you lay people who have no idea what injury he suffered last night. You have no idea what injury he suffered the week before. You have no idea what his diagnostics are. You have no idea what his doctors have said to him. But boy, howdy, today everybody's a motherfucking doctor, and they just know every fucking thing that happened involved with Tua Tagovailoa. And it's just like so fucking annoying how every time something like this happens, it's got to become the world's greatest debate. And it's like, I don't understand what you people think happens during tackle football. I mean, these guys, everybody makes a big deal out of concussions because, you know, that's been the thing for the last 10 years. And I'm not saying that they're great or they're wonderful or anything, but there's a lot of injuries that happen in football. I mean, I don't know if y'all remember, but one year, Tony Romo, when he was the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, he had what is known as a transverse process fracture in his back. And the way he was able to play through this injury is that he would shoot himself up with painkillers and drugs before the game. And this is a direct quote from him. He says he doesn't remember playing in any of those games. So you guys are okay with that, but when you see Tua, but yes, I'm not even going to lie, what happened to him last night was jarring. Yes, it was weird to see his hands go all freaky deaky like that, but I guarantee you that is not the first time that's happened in a game. As a matter of fact, there are some old school players who were kind of showing highlights of things that happened to them back in the day, and they would get right back in the game and play. Not saying that's what should happen. I'm just merely pointing out this is a game where grown-ass men are tackling each other, and they have those fucking injuries where their bones are protruding from their fucking legs, and they suffer concussions, and they suffer neck and back injuries and knee injuries, and I just don't understand what you people expect, and I really don't know why you watch sports if you can't handle the injuries. That's a whole part of the game, and it doesn't matter how much you bubble wrap everybody or put those stupid little padded helmets on them during practice, they're going to get hurt. It's football. Grow up and get over yourselves, you self-righteous scumbags. I am so sick of that shit. But anyways, after he was taken out of the game, Teddy Bridgewater came in, and this is why you always need a solid backup. Even though the Dolphins lost, Teddy Bridgewater came right in and made an immediate impact. I mean, shit, he almost converted on, like, I think it was like a 3rd-and-17 play. He almost converted that into a first down. And that was right after Tua was taken off the field, too. So he came right in. He just came right in and did his job. So it was nice to see that no matter what happens with Tua, they have a very capable backup. And if Tua ends up missing some significant time, it really probably won't affect them as it would other teams who don't have a solid backup. Because even with the backup, man, last night, Tyreek Hill, he had a great night. He went for 160 yards. So, I mean, you get him the ball and you're pretty solid. And also Raheem Mostert, he finally showed up. He was doing what he does normally where he hits the hole and boom, dude is gone. There was a run last night where he almost did that. And the Bengals were lucky that their secondary was on it and was able to tackle him because he would have been gone. So the Dolphins, while they had a down game, I picked against them just because I felt like they were due for a loss. But it was a good showing from them. But the Bengals ended up getting the best of them, 27-15. All right, so let's move on to the rest of the weekend's matchups for week four. Now this week begins the first game in London. This week's game in London, and what I love most about these London games is since I'm Central Time, usually football here does not start until noon. But when we have London games, that shit starts at 8:30 in the morning, and I'm fucking excited about it because my day starts with football once I wake up and ends with football when I go to sleep. So that is a great fucking day for me. So the first London game we have this week is going to be the Minnesota Vikings versus the New Orleans Saints. Right now, the Vikings are a 3.5-point favorite. There's actually some new injury news this week. It looks like Jameis Winston may possibly not play. He is actually doubtful for this game because he's been playing with a couple of fractures in his back. You know, people were, like I said, people were making a big old fucking deal about Tua getting thrown down last night. But Jameis Winston, it's totally cool for you to go out there and play with fractures in your back, right? Which he's been doing, by the way. So it's possible he may not play. Alvin Kamara hasn't really practiced much this week, so who knows if he's going to play. And so the injuries are really hampering the Saints, whereas the Vikings, they look pretty solid right now. They have a really good overall offense. It's very, they have three choices at receiver who are able to break out there. They have two choices at running back. Who knows what's going to happen with Dalvin Cook this week. I have a feeling he's probably not going to play. Even so, he probably doesn't need to play because they do have a solid solid backup. But if he's able to play, he's going to go because, you know, that's what football players do. But I think the Vikings are going to end up winning big 28-14. Then we have the Cleveland Browns at the Atlanta Falcons. Right now, the Browns are a 3.5-point favorite. I think both of these teams are pretty equal. Atlanta's okay. They've shown some life on offense, but they're not really a powerhouse team. And then you've got the Browns who they're just basically treading water until Deshaun Watson's able to play. But I don't really see them blowing the Falcons out of the water this week. I actually expect this to be a pretty close game. I expect it to be kind of low scoring and back and forth and competitive all the way through. And I have the Cleveland Browns getting the win 20-17. Then we have the Washington Commanders at my Dallas Cowboys. Right now, the Cowboys are a 2.5-point favorite. You know, the Redskins football team Commanders right now, they're coming off of a really bad game where Carson Wentz was sacked 9 times last week. So it's going to be very interesting to see how they're able to handle the barrage of defense that's going to be coming at them. With DeMarcus Lawrence coming off of a 3-sack performance last week. And then you have Micah Parsons, who's got, I believe, 4 or 5 sacks on the season already as well. So you've got those two guys on the end. And then you've got Diggs in the secondary. And just this defense, they're stacked. So I don't know what Washington's going to do this week. The Cowboys offense is playing very balanced and nice offense right now, at least. Cooper Rush is holding it down. And so with that being said, I actually have the Cowboys winning this week 28-17. I've got the defense holding it down as always and the offense just doing what they do, scoring, taking some drives down the field and getting some points. Then we've got the Seattle Seahawks at the Detroit Lions. Right now the Lions are a 6.5-point favorite. And the Lions, they're a very scrappy team. While they've lost a few games here, they're still playing some great football. Seattle, on the other hand, offensively, they're pretty stagnant. Geno Smith has been up and down. And since he had a pretty solid game last week, I expect him to have a pretty down week this week, especially because the Detroit Lions defense is starting to get going, especially with the rookie on the defensive end. He's starting to get his motor running as well. So I actually have Detroit winning pretty big, 27-10 at home. Then we've got the Tennessee Titans at the Indianapolis Colts. Right now, the Colts are a 3.5-point favorite. This is a division battle, so this is kind of a coin flip to me. Both teams are struggling. Neither one has a really solid identity. You know, the Titans' defense, not playing that well. Offensively, they're pretty questionable. I think last week they finally got it going with Derrick Henry. So that's the what they need to do. Just keep giving the ball to Derrick Henry. And if he's able to have a great game, chances are they're going to get a win. The Colts got it going defensively last week, and they have slowly been putting it together offensively. With the Colts at home, I'm leaning towards them. And so I have the Colts in a close battle this week, winning 21-20. Then we have the Chicago Bears at the New York Giants. I kind of have a feeling this is going to be a very ugly game. Right now, the Giants are a 2.5-point favorite. I don't think either team is that good. I think they have a lot of work to do on both the offensive and defensive side of the ball. Chicago's offense is actually statistically one of the worst in the league. And while the Giants have shown some life with Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones has had his moments, overall, they don't look that good offensively. And then defensively, Chicago is better. The Giants, on the other hand, they haven't shown that they're worth a shit on defense. So like I said, I feel like this is going to be a very ugly game where we see a bunch of turnovers and probably mostly a bunch of field goals as the scoring. And I've got the Chicago Bears winning 17-13. Then we've got the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Philadelphia Eagles. This is the, Doug Peterson, who now coaches the Jaguars. He used to coach the Eagles, so he's going up against his old team. Right now, the Eagles are a 7.5-point favorite, which I think is too much just because Jacksonville's offense has really shown a lot of life. So I don't think this is going to be a blowout. Whoever wins, I feel like this is going to be an offensive battle back and forth between Jalen Hurts and Trevor Lawrence. I really see both guys just cutting it loose and these two being the stars. I'm leaning towards Philadelphia in this one just because I'm not convinced with Jacksonville. If they get this win, then I feel like Jacksonville is probably for real, and I would be more likely to pick them. But since they haven't really proven it just yet, I've got to give them another week, and I've got Philadelphia winning a close battle at home, 35-31. And then we have the New York Jets at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Right now, the Steelers are a 3.5-point favorite. Zach Wilson is expected to make his return for the Jets this week at quarterback. And the Jets, you know, they're one of those teams where they could put it together, but then they lay an egg the next week. So last week, since they did have a bad game, I kind of expect them to come out and have a pretty solid game this week, especially because the Steelers offensively, I don't know what's going on with this team. Their offensive line is straight trash. They've got great receivers, but somehow Mitch Trubisky can't seem to get them the ball. And, defensively, they haven't looked the same since TJ Watt's injury. So I really don't trust anything that the Steelers are doing right now. Whereas the Jets, I think they could at least get it going offensively, score some points. And I think the Jets are going to roll into Pittsburgh and get the win 24-7. And then we've got the Buffalo Bills at the Baltimore Ravens. Right now, the Bills are a 3.5-point favorite. And this, I feel like, is going to be the game of the week. You've got Josh Allen versus Lamar Jackson. Two of the top quarterbacks in this league right now, both of them, they're both in that year where they should be making waves, where one of these guys should be making it to the AFC Championship this year, if not both of them, and then making it to the Super Bowl and finally getting their team over that edge. Lamar Jackson is just having a phenomenal season. And defensively, Baltimore looks great. Buffalo overall looking like a fantastic team. They're coming off of a tough loss last week. So I don't really see Buffalo losing two games in a row. I do see this being an offensive battle between Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, just back and forth offense all day. And I have the Buffalo Bills winning a very close one, 31-30. Then the last afternoon game, or morning game if you're on the West Coast, is going to be the Los Angeles Chargers at the Houston Texans. Right now the Chargers are a 6.5-point favorite. The Houston Texans are a trash can team. You can't even really name, they don't even really have like a star player on their team at all. Whereas the Chargers, they are coming off of that tough loss last week. I feel like Justin Herbert's probably healed a bit more from that rib injury. And I feel like there's no better team to get started on yet another winning streak than against the Houston Texans. So I've got the Chargers in a blowout this week at the Texans, on a slaughter fest. I've got them winning 42-10. Then the afternoon games, we have the Arizona Cardinals at the Carolina Panthers. Right now, the Panthers are a 1.5-point favorite. And this was a toss-up for me because I can really see either team getting this win. Arizona has just had nothing but follies. They haven't even had a really good game. Even the game that they won against the Raiders a couple weeks ago, it wasn't impressive. It was a last-minute type of win. And they just really haven't been able to get it going. And I really don't know what's going on this team. They have no identity at all. And the Panthers, we kind of expected that from them because they seem to be in a rebuilding mode. They seem to get it together last week, and they are still finding their way. But since they're such an off and on team, I'm just going with the Cardinals because I think they're the slightly better team that could get the job done. I've got them winning a close one, 21-14, but I would not be shocked if the Carolina Panthers actually get this win. Then we have the New England Patriots at the Green Bay Packers. Right now, the Packers are a 9.5-point favorite. I kind of feel like that's extremely generous at this point because New England, whether Mac Jones plays or not, this offense sucks. This is just an absolutely atrocious New England Patriots team. I really have no idea what the hell they're thinking with anything that they're doing with this team. The Packers, they still have some things to work out between Aaron Rodgers and the receivers, but I feel like as the season goes on, that's just going to progress and get better. And I think this is going to be a good week for them to progress and get better because the New England just flat out sucks. And I have Green Bay stomping them to the ground 31-6. And then the last afternoon game is the Denver Broncos at the Las Vegas Raiders. Both teams are struggling this season. Right now, the Vegas Raiders are a 1.5-point favorite. Denver, offensively, they have not got it going. They, even in the games they've won, they've just barely gotten by. And it's just their offensive line is not good. The ground attack can't get going. And Russell Wilson seems to be overthrowing passes, and it just is a weird vibe from this offense. Now, I do expect them at some point to get it going, but this is a division matchup, and the Raiders are itching for a win. They have not had a win yet this season. As a matter of fact, they're the only team that hasn't got a win. Although, the Texans haven't got one either. They've got a tie, but right now, the Raiders are the only team in the league that are 0-3. So since they are itching for a win, I kind of see them putting it together this week. They are at home, and I see the Vegas Raiders getting a win 27-24. Then our Sunday night game is going to be the Kansas City Chiefs at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Right now, the Chiefs are a 2.5-point favorite. I think this week, though, the Buccaneers are going to get it back in order. They're coming off of a real close loss last week. Defensively, they are one of the best in the league. And with what the Colts did to Mahomes last week, I kind of see the Buccaneers just teeing off of that and really adding pressure times 10 to Mahomes. Because now with no Tyreek Hill, he doesn't have that short yardage guy to bail him out and potentially get, you know, 10, 15, maybe even 40 yards on one play. So they are really missing that extra oomph in their offense. But they also have been missing Harrison Butker, who really cost them last week. The week before, it didn't cost them because they got the win, even though he missed a couple of kicks. But last week, it really cost them. And so Butker is a game-time decision this week, so we'll see if that ends up affecting them. But I just kind of see the Buccaneers putting together a really solid game this week. They do get Mike Evans back from the suspension, and I kind of feel like he's going to come out and have a big game for his team. And I feel like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to get the win, 28-17. And then we will go over the Monday night game on Monday's show. And so I do have a Trop 5 this week. It's kind of a silly Trop 5, nothing serious. But I've noticed, you know, there's some team names I just can't get over. They just don't roll off the tongue right. And so today, I've decided my Trop 5 is going to be the Trop 5 worst team names. And, you know, I'm not going to go the stupid, idiotic, politically correct round of, the Redskins and the Indians. No, I actually have a quite ironic and hilarious story about how the Redskins actually got their name once I get to the end of this Trop 5 list of mine, as a matter of fact. But I'm not going that stupid, idiotic route. I think you people who get upset over team names are it completely idiotic. I'm also not one of those people, though, who's like, oh, it's the history. Like, I couldn't care less if you change your team name. As a matter of fact, I totally understand why teams these days especially change their team name, because it just generates more revenue, because then people are going to buy new jerseys and new merch and new T-shirts and new hats, and usually generates a new buzz, at least for a year or two. I totally understand why some teams do it, but I won't be at including the politically correct stupid loser names for the Redskins and the Indians and whatever else we've got out there that people are crying about. No, this is going to be a fun top five list, because I know most of you don't like to have fun, but I do. All right, so, and we do have a little bit of a mixture of things, too. I've got an NHL team on here, I've got basketball teams, I've got baseball and football, so I'm covering all the sports in this, and these are also all current, like, within the last, like, 10 years team names that I'm going to throw out there, as far as team names go, I feel like they need to roll off the tongue and make sense, meaning, like, you know, like the Dallas Cowboys, for example. Okay, it rolls off the tongue easily. It fits Dallas because, you know, Cowboys, ah! Pew, pew, guns, yeah, we're all stupid out here in Texas, yee-haw! So it fits, you know what I mean? And it doesn't sound stupid. It kind of has, like, an intimidating factor, even though I'm not intimidated by any of these names. But it's supposed to be, like, intimidating. And then it's also supposed to make sense of where you're located regionally. So, but there, these five team names, and I do actually have an honorable mention as well. I can't get used to them. I've always thought they were stupid if they've been around for a while or just whenever they were created. But these are the top five worst team names. And I'm going to start with an honorable mention, and that would be the Washington Commanders. First of all, since I've been watching football for 37 years, it's not even just team names. I still call the Los Angeles Chargers San Diego Chargers on occasions. I still refer to the Las Vegas Raiders sometimes as the Oakland Raiders, or the Los Angeles Rams as the St. Louis Rams. So those are things that happen. But also, the Washington, whatever team they're going to call themselves, I still call them the Redskins, because that's what they've been my whole life. Up until the last couple of years. But I had to put Commanders on there, not just because I hate the stupid team, but it doesn't roll off the tongue correctly. It doesn't sound right. It just sounds stupid to me. And it's not because it's Washington. Trust me, it's not because of that. I just think it's a dumb fucking name. I think there's so many other names they could have gone with that were better than that, but they went with the Commanders, which just sounds so dumb. And I can't even say it with a straight face. Like, even when I say it, there's this, like, thing in my brain that's like, dude, that's just dumb. But that's what they are, the Washington Commanders. And there's a good chance that another one of their team names might make this top five list. Just saying. So let's get into the actual top five now. Top five worst team names. At number five, I have the Anaheim Ducks, the hockey team. They are a good hockey team, but the name Ducks, there is nothing scary or intimidating about it. All I think about is, like, Donald Duck. And that might be part of the reason why they're called the Ducks, because Anaheim is where Disneyland is located. So that might play a part in it. I don't really know the impetus of why they're called the Ducks. But it's not a scary name. It's not an intimidating name. And when I see it, it just makes me laugh. And I know I'm supposed to have some stupid connection to it with those dumb Mighty Duck movies. But I hate kids, and so I usually hate all those dumb little kid movies. I even hated them as a kid, so no thanks on the Mighty Ducks, and I think the Anaheim Ducks are one of the top five stupidest names in sports. Then I'm doing that on the fly right now. I'm calling this a top five worst team names, but I'm actually going to change it to the top five stupidest team names. Hold on one second, I got to cross that out on my piece of paper here, just so I make sure I put that in the title as well, because I think stupid is much, it gets the point across much more than worst, just stupid team names, because you know me, I think everything's fucking stupid. So anyways, at number four on my top five stupidest team names, I have the Washington Wizards, the basketball team. I've always thought that the Wizards, it sounds so fucking gay. And yes, I use the word gay as a pejorative. And if you got a problem with it, suck my motherfucking dick. But I mean, you really can't argue with me that the Wizards is a totally gay team name. You could just see the dude with his little wand like, let's get the Wizards a win. Oh, wait, that's right. They never win. So I don't know what they're wizarding. I don't know what a wizard has to do with the city of Washington, D.C. And also the reason why they changed the team name is completely stupid because they actually used to be the Washington Bullets. But then, you know, when Washington, D.C. created that moronic law where you couldn't own a gun, and Washington, D.C. was actually the murder capital of the nation at the time when they had that stupid, idiotic law. It was completely ironic, completely hilarious, at least to me. But that's why they changed the name, because they were the Bullets. And that is too violent for a team name. So they became the gay-ass Wizards, who can't win shit, even when they had Michael Jordan. They were a trash can team. So Washington Wizards are the number 4 stupidest team name on my list here. Then at number 3 on my top 5 stupidest team names, I have the Cleveland Guardians. That's actually why I created this list, because I cannot, for the life of me, say their team name without wanting to do what I just did. Guardians! And I don't do it all the time because it could be annoying if you hear it all the time endlessly. But I mean, that's how I want to say it every fucking time, because it's just such a ridiculous and stupid and childish team name. Oh, we're the Guardians! We're gonna save you all because we're all superheroes! The Guardians! What does that have to do with anything? They could have come up with any better team name. If you don't know, they used to be the Cleveland Indians. They did change their team name. This is the first year that they're using the Guardians name. And so that is why they changed their team name. I've already made my stance felt on how I don't care that they were called the Indians, and how they used Chief Wahoo as their mascot or whatever. But you know, political correctness these days, or wokeness, as it's called, all the same. Wokeness didn't just come about now. It's always been around. There's always been stupid crybabies. It just used to be called political correctness, which is a term I still use because I think it's better than wokeness. But anyways, that's what really started this list, is this Guardian's name, because I can't say it with a straight face. Even though it sounds like I do, I'm on the inside, like my brain is just like, dude, that is such a stupid fucking name. I can't believe that's an actual team name. But yeah, number 3 are the Cleveland Guardians on my top 5 stupidest team names. Now at number 2 on my top 5 stupidest team names, I have the New Orleans Pelicans. I have never gotten used to this name. The Pelicans. I mean, what is intimidating or scary about a pelican? Absolutely nothing. I know that why they named themselves the Pelicans, because apparently the pelican is the bird of Louisiana, or the state bird or whatever. So that's why they did it. But come the fuck on. There were way better names you probably could have gone with as opposed to the Pelicans. As a matter of fact, the Hornets is what they used to be. The New Orleans Hornets, who actually... Okay, they were first the Charlotte Hornets, then they moved to New Orleans and were the New Orleans Hornets, and then they became the New Orleans Pelicans a few years ago. And then now we do have the Charlotte Hornets, who were the Charlotte Bobcats. And then when the Pelicans dropped the Hornets name, the Charlotte Bobcats then became the Charlotte Hornets yet again. But I think the Hornets was a much better name than the Pelicans. And the Pelicans have been the Pelicans for a few years now, and I still can't get used to it. When I hear that name, I'm like, God, what a stupid fucking name. The Pelicans. Like, ugh, it makes me not want to be a fan of theirs just because of the team name. Sorry, Simon. I know you're a big New Orleans Pelicans fan, but it's just a stupid team name. Come on, man. You got to agree with me on that one at least, right, homie? All right, and then at number 1 on my top 5 stupidest team names, it is the Washington Football Team. It is ridiculous to me that there were 2 years where we had to refer to this, the Washington Football Team, as the Washington football team. Like, that was so unimaginative and stupid. And I still can't, it still baffles my mind to this day, even though they have a brand new team name and they're completely different. It still baffles my mind that we called them the football team for 2 years and people actually wanted them to keep that name. Come the fuck on, yo. You got to at least have some imagination. I mean, at least the Pelicans. The Pelicans is a better team name than that because at least it's something. Football team is so, what are we going to be, guys? Huh? What are we going to be? Because that's what I imagine the owner of the Redskins, Snyder, sounds like. Hey, guys. What team name are we going to be? As he's sexually assaulting a woman to his right. Hey, guys, what are we going to be? What are we going to be, guys? We can't be the Redskins anymore because I got to pretend like I give a shit about this movement that I don't care about. So what are we going to be for the next year or two? How about we just be the football team? That sounds about right. Hooray. And so, yeah, the Washington football team, I will never get over that one. It was stupid as fuck. Now, while I was doing research for the Trop 5 stupidest team names, I stumbled upon the history of how the Washington Redskins actually got their team name. And it's very ironic, and it's exactly why I hate political correctness, and I hate almost every fucking stupid feel-good movement in this country, is because you guys don't actually give a shit about anything other than making yourself feel better. And you don't even like look into the history of things, nor do you care. So here is how the Redskins became the Washington Redskins. So there's a historical owner named Jack Kent Cook. He's also a historical asshole, by the way, but most people are. But he owned quite a few teams throughout his lifetime. One of the teams he owned was actually the Los Angeles Lakers, who he sold them off to the Buss family, who currently own the Lakers. But he's owned multiple teams. He's owned baseball teams, football teams. He's mostly owned football teams, but I think he's had his hand in every single sport imaginable. He's one of the reasons why we have football today. But anyways, at the time, many, many moons ago, before we had the NFL, he used to own a football team called the Boston Braves. And he actually had a lot of Native Americans on his team as football players, and his coach was a Native American. And all the Native Americans on the team hated the name the Braves. And so he said, okay, let's change the team name. Let's have a vote. And he let the team pick the name. And the Native Americans wanted it to be the Boston Redskins. That is how we got the name Redskins, because the Native Americans chose that team name. And it was overwhelming, too. It wasn't like, I don't want to use this team. No, they chose to be the Redskins. So that's actually where the Washington Redskins name came from, was from Native Americans themselves who actually played in the game. In the early days of football. So all you stupid, idiotic do-gooders out there who've been walking around saying, oh, it's because of the almighty, hateful white man created that name. No, actually, the Native Americans chose that name. So that's cool. You guys all just wiped out history and gave zero fucks about the Native Americans who chose that name. But all you self-righteous fucks now that it's changed, now they're the Washington Commanders, now life is so amazing for all of the Native Americans, right? Oh, that's right. It's not. It's still fucking awful for them here in America. What a surprise. But at least a lot of you stupid white people feel fucking fantastic about yourselves because you changed a team name. And I know it's not just white people, but that's usually who it is, like all the rich, affluent people, including the rich, affluent black people and Hispanics and stuff. It's always the fucking rich people who want to sit around and act like the high and mighty and self-righteous. And then they start these mentally challenged movements. And now we have the Washington Redskins football team Commanders that I get to make fun of every single week now. But so that's the history of why we had the Washington Redskins as a team name, chosen by Native Americans, not by white people. So get over yourselves, stupid. But that is my Trop 5 for this week, the Trop 5 stupidest team names. And I hope you guys enjoy your weekend of football, of baseball. Let's see where we're at when Aaron Judge after this weekend, because he has a shot. Not only does he have a shot to take the single season AL home run record, but he also has a shot at that triple crown. He is currently, I think it's 0.1 or 0.2% right now, Luis Arias of the Minnesota Twins. He just bumped his ERA up yesterday, or his batting average up against yesterday, because the Yankees did not play. So we'll see what happens with Judge. If he's able to get that triple crown, I'd love to see him not only pass Roger Maris, but I'd love to see him get that triple crown as well. So let's see what happens this weekend. And I will talk to you fools on Monday.